The word became flesh. I don't know whether you catch that. The word becomes flesh. Even if you did not consciously try to perform it, because you have said what you believed. Do you get my point? It said, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken, therefore his spirit has gathered. That is a matter of fact. I'm bringing out an issue. I've not forgotten what I'm saying. So that here what happened to Jesus was that he was physically hungry. All his nerves were triggered. So he was weary and he sat down waiting for food. And then purpose came to him. Do you get what I'm saying? Purpose came to him and he fulfilled purpose. And suddenly there was nourishment again supplied to his body. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. And then when food came, he had lost appetite. Oh, let me tell you a practical story to explain this. You've heard me use this woman as an illustration several times. Mary Kay Ash, founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. The woman founded her company based on a number of principles. One of them, he said, this is supposed to be God first, family second, and career third. She founded the company so that she could help women become all they could be. She felt that life, society then, was controlled by men, and they did not give women what they deserved. That was the general principle. And then, you know, many things happened to her. Her first husband left her. She alone had to raise 4 children. And then her career, her sales career, they didn't deal with her very well. And then, cut a long story short, one day she retired and felt that that's not how life was supposed to be. These people didn't do what they were supposed to do. And she decided to write a book. While writing the book on what sales should be, she found out that she realized, I know now that it was the Spirit of God speaking to her. She realized that nobody should read the book if nobody had ever practiced the things inside. So she said, why not put into practice the theory you are putting down on paper? That was how she founded the company. And a few years ago, she was judged by one university in the United States of America as the greatest female entrepreneur of all time in that country. Now, what am I talking about? Purpose. And physical manifestation. She said there was a time she became sick. Those of you who are enlightened about it, you know what we call rheumatoid arthritis. You've seen some, maybe elderly people, their fingers are like this. They can't move those fingers very well. The hand is kind of stiff. Alright? Yeah, it's a disease called rheumatoid arthritis. It occurs with on small joints. Alright? Usually fingers and toes. Do you understand that? Now, Mary Kay Ash developed rheumatoid arthritis as a woman in her middle age. So she went, joint pains and everything, went to the doctor and they did all the tests and said, madam, you have rheumatoid arthritis. They said it's a predisposition. They told all the stories. She thanked them very well and went back to work. Now, get what I'm saying? You know what she said? That I didn't have the time to be mourning over my sickness. I did not have the time to be wondering about why. I didn't have the time to be complaining and moaning and groaning. I just took my time and focused on what I had to do. This company mustn't collapse. I built it with all of my life savings and all of my son's life savings, and my other son left his lucrative job to come and work for me because both of the boys believe that there's nothing this our mommy does that doesn't succeed. So I don't have time to fail. Too many people have faith in me. So she focused on her business. And the rheumatoid arthritis went into remission. And the doctors told her that you are just in remission, it will soon come back. As she was writing the book, she was already in her 80s. The thing was still in remission. For like 20-something years, it never showed up. My meat is to do the will, my nourishment, my medicine, the healing for my soul, my flesh, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you get my point? Let me tell you something. One of the, you know, faith, we teach a lot of faith. How to get a car by faith. How to become healed by faith. How to have children by faith. How to marry by faith. So many how to's. You hear things like, you wake up in the morning, you focus on it. You focus on what you really want. You focus. You make sure it doesn't deviate from your heart. And then you confess it, After you confess 15,000 times, on the 15,001 time, you will see a vision and a revelation. And then you continue to confess. You know, I don't believe in that. You know, if you've led him long enough, you know, I don't think it's practical. If I use that to buy car, how will I buy a house? When I finish with house, how will I furnish it? How will I train my children? If I have to use this amount of spiritual energy to pick one thing after the other, how do I succeed in life totally? It's not possible. I will never do well in life. Therefore, I like to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That summarizes it. Listen, say, Pastor, listen, those things don't work. Listen to me, they work. Just a difficult way. I told you there are different ways to get to Lagos. You can start trekking on time. It's a few days, you will get there. Olayinka, you were telling me about the young man who will ride bike from here to Oka and look for passenger. I said, and so to Nsukka. I said, who will sit on the motorbike from here to Nsukka? You know the fear? People do it, so you can take that one to Lagos too. You will soon reach there. You can take a very nice car or a luxury bus or the most beautiful one of them all. It's very nice. I love, you know, there's something I like about flying out of Lagos, out of Enugu to Lagos. You know what I love about it most? You will see guys who left like 6 hours before you. You will see them trying to cross the bridge. You will see them, See these guys. No, I like that. No, really. You will see bosses, they climb nice man. Those guys have been at the Kenya Park since 6:30. You just left it all. Zoom. You go to the airport 15 minutes before they took off and you overtook them sharp. There are different ways to get to Lagos. That's the point I'm making. You want to use that to get results in life? Fine, go ahead. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not evil. I think it's slow. It takes too much spiritual energy. Are you getting my point? What should you do? Use that same spiritual energy to do things that are few. What do I mean by few? One thing is needful, he said. So therefore, I pick one thing that is needful. Instead of focusing on car, house, and all of that, I focus on, this is Pastor Banky, I focus on propagating this gospel and all of that things are added onto me. It's a shortcut. I use that same spiritual energy to call resources to expand our reach. To, you know, I use the same spiritual energy to call down revelation from heaven. I use the same spiritual energy to increase our ability to preach the gospel. I use that same spiritual energy to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then a car is added. House is added. Do you understand my point? Everything is added. Wife, children. I used to say that people say, okay, when you want to marry, know the kind of woman you want. Whether she's fair or short or tall or slim or dark or this and that. Pastor Bani, did you do that? As God is my witness, no. In fact, I didn't know I would marry a woman as tall as my wife is. As a young boy, I watched the Ten Commandments. You know, all the Egyptian men were tall and big and muscular. And all the ladies were, they were thin and short and reaching their shoulders. In my brain, I thought that's the godly way. I just thought so. And then I would think it's strange that why should a man go and marry a woman taller than him? There's only one reason. Number one, my mother is shorter than my father was. You know my point? She was shorter than him. I watch movie. And all the movies I watch that's not done by Danny DeVito, the women are usually shorter than the men. It's only if it's Danny DeVito that the equation will change one kind. So unconsciously it was in my soul like that. So if you had to dictate height for God, no, I didn't do that. So you didn't have a big vision of what your wife should look like. No, I had one vision. One, she must love the Lord. Two, she must believe that I can preach. That thing was so important to me. Three, she must respect me as a person. That was just me, you know, that is just in me. And my reason was simple. My reason was, you talk about, it's part of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I found out that most women were utterly disrespectful to their husbands and most of them didn't understand divine ordinance. It used to turn my stomach when I see a man and the husband, a woman and her husband talking. And you just say, I beg God, why do you behave like this? And you're talking to your husband. I want to enter the ground. That, you know, they teach Bible for you in a church. That was just me. I said, after that, that's about all I asked the Lord for. It's called seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I discovered my wife's height when they say you may kiss the bride. you understand? What I'm trying to say is that was the day I finally knew exactly how tall my wife would be. Because 2 days before that, if I say this, I hope you have understanding. I wasn't even sure yet. Because again, I prophesied. They said, did God speak to you concerning the woman you marry? I said, yes, he did. How did he say it? He said, I pronounce you man and wife. Uh-huh. Until that day, I wasn't sure. Anything can happen. Better believe all these voices you have heard. I've told you, stop fooling yourself. If you heard a voice, and the voice is very, very, I like the way, hey, what's the name of this man? This man from Port Harcourt that came to preach in church. He said, if God has to speak to you clearly and loudly concerning who you marry, just know there's trouble ahead. Because one day you will doubt that it is God. Now, please, I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. I mean, that an issue here that I couldn't focus. I mean, you don't have that amount of time. Do you know the number of issues you have in life? You have to hire people or you have to work somewhere. How many hours do you spend confessing concerning that? You have to get married. You have to raise children. You have to buy a car. You have to, you know, expand your business. How many hours will you spend on each one of those parameters of life? That's the point I'm making. But Jesus said, my nourishment, the supplies for everything, come from doing the will of him that sent me and finishing his work. That is, if I focus on purpose, believe me, I will marry the right wife. I will have the right children. Are you getting my point? Yes, I will drive the right car. I will live in the right house. The other day, my wife and I were discussing. Build house, buy house. I said, look, my wife, let's even ask ourselves a simple question. Do you know where we will be in 10 years' time? No, think about it. I can't guarantee you I'll be in Enugu in 10 years' time. Because 10 years ago, I couldn't guarantee I'll be in Enugu today. As God is my witness, 10 years ago, it had never crossed my mind that I'll come to Enugu. And I came to Enugu 9 years ago. Isn't that funny? 9 years ago was when I came to Enugu. It will be 9 years in 8 or 9 months' time. September, October, thereabout was when I came to Enugu. In the year 2000. As of January 2000, I had no plans for coming to Enugu. So, Pastor Mark, what are you saying? I can't swear to you, you will find me here next year, January. I can't. So why should I break my head and kill myself over land they are selling independence layout that is expensive? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All I need is money to pay my landlord for today. Once I pay him, I have rest for another 12 months. At the end of the 12 months, if the Lord still says remain there, by circumstance and by many things, I gather money again and say, Chief, good money. Here is money for the next 12 months. That's the way it works. So why do I want to kill myself that land is getting expensive? Listen, God knows the kind of house I want to live in. He knows the kind of land I want to live. Look, people tell me, we are building a house. My wife told me the other day that one of her friends just built a house. I said, nice area. I said, how big is the compound? By the time she finished, people said, this thing will go past 420 square meters. I tell my wife, even if they dash me that land, with a house on it. You know, say I go rent her out, go live somewhere else. I'm a large man. My heart is large. God bless you if you can manage small house. I can't. Now, get my point. I'm not saying I have never lived in a small house. I used to live in a single room when I first married. For the next 11 months after I married, my wife and I lived in the single room on a 3.5 spring bed. And she used to say that those days were nice. No matter how much you quarreled with me, you know, you go sleep. Now, you know, go sleep. The bed was so small, you had to touch me, shower one way or the other. Now, when you get house with plenty of rooms, you go say, at the vex, you go enter another room, go close the door. Those days, how many rooms? Where you want to go? Well, I'm just saying that, look, that was the season. I said, my heart is large. If they are selling land, 220 square meters, I won't buy. Even if it's 250 naira, I will not buy. No, I'm just bringing out an issue here. So I said, why do I want to knock my head? I don't know where I will be tomorrow. I actually don't. A friend of mine called me one day and said, Banky, have you ever thought of moving to this particular Nigerian city? I said, no. He said, okay, write this date down. Because I slept and I dreamt. And I saw you ministering powerfully from this particular area. I said, okay, I will remember that you said so. But today I have no such plans. And I have not forgotten it, that he said so. So while you are here breaking your head, if I don't buy a land in Enugu, I'm going to die. Because they look at this one. You are going to move to Owerri in three months' time. And the Owerri I'm moving you to, say here, you are begging for 600 square meters. I have 36,000 square meters waiting for you. Untouched. And they will give it to you at one-tenth the price. In fact, it's with pleasure they will sign it off and say, pay over the next 10 years. You follow the point I'm making? And you are here breaking your head. Give me this land or I die. Pastor said, just focus on it, confess on it. Jesus said, my meat, my nourishment, my land, do you get the point? Comes from doing the will of him that sent me and from finishing his work. How did Mary Kay get healing for her rheumatoid arthritis? The woman was a Christian, but not the kind of faith believer that we are today. She just said, I didn't have time. Listen, she said, I did not have time for self-pity. Her issue was time. I don't know whether you get my point. Her problem was that she said, I don't have time. I don't have time to be complaining and grumbling and moaning and groaning. I don't have time. I don't have time to be saying, why me? Listen, my son gave me his whole life savings. My other son moved from a lucrative job to come and join me. Many women have signed up to work for me. I don't have time. I have to succeed. This business must work. So she got up and told the doctors, thank you. Shortly after, she went into the remission. And she died with the rheumatoid arthritis in remission several decades later. Many people won't die in life if they exactly know what they are supposed to be doing and they are focused on doing it. Believe me. One of the stories that instructed me, you know, I keep begging you, read, you don't have to make all the mistakes before you get corrected. One of the reasons why God invented writing, or more like why he brought it down from heaven, because they were doing it in heaven before this earth, all right? Why, one of the reasons why he did that for us was so that we can learn from the previous people's stories. He said these things were recorded for what? Our learning. We upon whom the end of the age has come. Please read books. I was correcting a brother the other day. After I talked, I gave him a book. I said, please read this. It will save your life. You are following the point I'm making. Read. As a minister, one man that has blessed me more than any other person is Kenneth E. Hagin. Many people have taught me matters of ministry. I read and watched the movie, the videos of God's Generals by Robert Sladen. It blessed me. Bishop Oyedepo was the only person that I would say I went to school, in quotes, to be taught by somebody in School of Ministries in Winners Chapel. But beyond all these people, Kenneth E. Hagin taught me so much. Did I ever meet him? I did not go to America while he was alive. And he never came to Africa beyond South Africa. But his books, I read every one. Many one of them, several times. It's still what I used to kill time, you know, killing time. You go to my room, you will see books around. Mingled amongst them are Kenneth Hagin books. As a preacher, I don't think you, well, I don't know, then let me say that. Let me just put it this other way. You will do yourself a lot of service. Read every Kenneth Hagin book. Everyone. Because he will teach you things. Now, what am I saying? Kenneth Hagin described how one day he fell and he broke his elbow. It was a man who believed he should never be sick. And such accidents should never happen to him. But he fell, broke his elbow, and was in hospital. And his hand was in a cast. And one day he had the vision of the Lord. The Lord appeared to him physically. He sat down and he saw somebody walk up to him. The Lord drew a chair and sat down. Said, we need to talk. Said, do you know why I allowed you to fall and break your elbow? Because we needed to talk. Because there was no other way I could get to talk to you except here in this hospital. Let me add my own words to it. If nobody say we day here, you go there somewhere they preach, they talk nonsense again. They do the one way I not send you. Thank God for hospitals. Now you are here. The Lord told him in simple words, that's the reason why you are here. He said, I'm going to modify the words, all right? Just to make it short, so I won't say too many things. In summary, I have come to deliver you from death at the age of 55. He was about 39 years old, thereabout, in his late 30s. So why? He said, I called you to be a prophet and a teacher. You have chosen to be a teacher and a teacher alone. Because many times the man will be ministering and the spirit of the prophet will come upon him. Suddenly as he's preaching, he'll just have a vision. The man sitting over there, the Lord just showed him something about the man and he's supposed to tell the man and minister the word of God to him. But he said, this is what they won't understand. They will think I'm a witch of some sort. So he will kill the spirit because as a matter of fact, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. He will be preaching and the spirit of prophecy will come upon him to start speaking anointed utterances straight from the throne of heaven. Say, they don't understand, they are Baptists. And he'll continue preaching. It happened several times over months and maybe years. And the Lord said, listen, that if you had continued like that, you would have died at the age of 55. There are many reasons why people die. Don't ever want that. It's none of your business. Somebody sent me a text once. You know, I went for a seminar. He wrote a question. Why the pastor Bimbo Odukoya died in a plane crash? I read it out and said, none of my business. And squeezed it and threw it away. And continued my ministration. What you concern me? Don't you read the Bible? When they called Peter, come. Peter looked and said, Lord, what about this one? Jesus said, look at you. None of your business. You just follow me. Practice that in life. You just follow the Lord. I remember then, one man of God died, a bishop in Nigeria. They shot him in the head, died 1 week later. Was brought to a hospital in Lagos. Someone said, if that can happen to him, what can happen to the rest of us? I said, in Jesus' name, may your mouth close. I was so angry with my friend. I said, what happens to him is none of my business. When he gets to heaven, he and his Lord, they will discuss. No, really, if I don't have time to explain it, you will understand that your Lord and my Lord, they are different. They are the same, the Lord Jesus Christ, too, but they are very different people. That was why Paul was praying for those who gave to him. He said, my God. He didn't say God will supply. He said, what? My God. Read through the whole of his epistles. Those are words he hardly used. He said, my God, that this is not your God I'm talking about. I'm talking about my own. There is something unique about my God. So, none of your business. That was why he called himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So as he runs with one man, it's none of your business. No, look, I hope you get the point. Your life is very unique. Not following everybody else's own. Ken Hagin said God told him he would have died at the age of 55 if they had not had that chat. After that, Ken Hagin didn't care whether you understood or not. It is your personal problem if you have never seen a prophet before. This was his life he was dealing with. Do you understand what I explain? So the man will get up after that, minister as a prophet everywhere. If you don't understand, it's your problem. And that was why he lived till he was about 88. What am I saying in effect? Long life, let me put it like this. My long life is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let me put the other one to it. My prosperity is to do the will of him that sent me and to what? Finish his work. You know, I've said this thing again and again. All those principles of success you read here and there. How rich men wake up early in the morning. How they go to sleep at night. I've told you, anyone that's not in line with scripture, forget it. Oh. One day I read the then richest man in the world, Paul Getty. So how do you become rich? He said, rise up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I said, no, this is not scripture. The Bible says it is vain to rise up early and to retire late. I said, what he didn't notice is the striking of oil is a gift of God. The man that rose up late and went to bed early can also strike oil. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? What am I trying to explain? That those so-called principles of success, listen to me, the good ones are what I call the pillars of success. They are not the foundation. Do you hear what I said? even the good ones, how to hire and retain the best people. I will even teach you some of them in spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies. What I'm making is that all the principles, listen to me, they are what? The pillars. What I'm dealing with is what? The foundation. There is a foundation. There is a foundation. That's what I'm dealing with. He said, my meat, my nourishment, my success, my long life, my prosperity is found in one place. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. A time will come, you will look at life and you'll be a middle-aged man or an old man and you will look old. I like the testimonies of people like Abraham, of David, of Job. They will tell you that they lived long. No, there's a way the Bible would say it, that is having lived long and had, in summary, a full and satisfied life. Not a life of regret and had I known. That is only found in the center of the will of him that sent me while I'm finishing his work. So when God says to Abraham, come, he comes. Are you getting my point? Everything David did, he wanted to know what God's will was in that thing. I talked about the will of God several times. Walking in God's will, a life of grace. I discussed that. Like I said, it's a continuation. The life of purpose. Realizing that you were born for a reason. Let me summarize my message. The point I'm making is that, listen, you know, take a country like ours. Everybody, you know, I'm going to talk about that part of my announcement today and maybe next time. A lot of, you know, we still have this mission project mentality. You heard me discuss that last time. There's a missionary mentality. And there's a mission project mentality. What's a mission project? The road should just be good. I should just wake up and the road is good. I don't know what I get to my point. I should just wake up and the road should just be good. There should just be money. Why should they say there's no money? Are we not the one printing the money? You know that kind of thing. It's a mission project mentality. I should just wake up and everything should just be okay. Nobody asks himself a question. Who are those doing this? What am I supposed to do in my own sphere? Like I always say, there is something that depends on me that somebody else should be able to take for granted. I don't know whether I get my point. Look, the vast majority of, I believe, our tens of thousands of listeners, God has called them to take it for granted that the way of success will be on air every Monday by 8:30 and every Thursday by 7:30. In my opinion, 90% of them, that's their mission. Who pays for it, actually, is none of their business. Who preaches it, actually, it doesn't concern them. You know, sometimes when we are there walking, those who are around me say, ah, pastor, you know, we are strong, do this, okay, you take this straight to Cosmo. So you say, ah, nobody understands what is going on for this program to come on air for 30 minutes. Yes, it's none of their business. Really, vast majority. There are those that God will stir up their spirit and say, ask yourself, how is this thing being paid for? Are you getting my point? And then they will ask, and somebody will say, it's free will donations from people. And say, ah, no, then in that case, I should donate. Do you follow my point? Somebody will say, ah, how is this program being prepared? I'm very good with computers. Okay, let me contribute that. But a vast majority, actually, they just take it for granted. But this is a lesson. Just like they can take listening to the broadcast for granted, there are certain things I also should be able to take for granted because they are doing it and it's none of my business how they do it. Do you follow my point? Listen, that's why, look, with that kind of attitude, there are days, a time will come, listen, God will bless you. The covert leading to your street will break. And they will be writing letters to local government to inform local government. And the Spirit of God will call you and say, what is wrong with you? And you say, I'm very sorry, sir. And you will go collect construction workers, go there, use your personal money, fix the culvert, and you won't put a stick sign on it. This culvert was fixed on the 15th of May, 2016, by I, Sir Chief Mister. Those who don't have any reward with God, that's what they do. You won't put that. You will just fix the culvert, put it back in shape, do the gutters around that area, and you will walk away. And everybody will assume there was a local government. And you will not even notice to say to them, it wasn't them, it was me. You will have just contributed your own portion to life. Are you getting my point? So that, listen to me, that will be the only reason why you will tune to Wheel of Success. And you will be able to, before that, the Spirit of God will just leave you alone and say, that one is none of your business. And then you will drive on the road and there are well-armed policemen with communication gadgets everywhere protecting your life, and it is none of your business how they got there. Do you get my point? There's somebody else who God gave that assignment. Design security for Nigeria. Offer it to the government for free. I'm going to discuss something along the line. Somebody asked me downstairs just now. That's Chiki, one of your boys. Why is it that once it is Nigeria, the team must slow down like this? He said, why? I said, do you want to know the truth? Let me talk by inspiration. All of you hear this. This is the problem of Nigeria. I am saying it so that you can confess that evil spirit out of your soul. So that with you it has come to an end. Then God will lift you up to the place where you can end it elsewhere also. What is that? It is the spirit of what is in it for me. Selfishness. Believe me, that is what God, I don't know what to say now. That is what Satan has used to keep us in subjection. What am I trying to put into you as the spirit of God? To learn to take pleasure from the fact that things are working, even though I get nothing from it. Do you get my point? Every good proposal in Nigeria, you know, it goes with, when you finish, let's assume they give you access to the governor. You finish talking and talking and talking and talking. The next thing is, how much? Oh God, let me tell you, most governors will trip over the day somebody say, if it is this idea, we are willing to give you for free. We can help you implement it. We can help you supervise the implementation. But for this state, we ain't charging money. People say, how will you get money then? Oh God, later I'll talk about the priestly corner of life. You've sown a seed. It will germinate for you elsewhere. There are times you just reject the money. Not because you don't want money, but because you want to be sure. You are so sure that if we implement this, no armed robber will be able to operate successfully for 2 days in Nigeria. You are so sure that if we implement this, no car will be stolen and it will go beyond 100 meters before they find it. You are so sure that if we implement this, everybody can sleep at night and remove all this prison yard burglar proof. You know, go to foreign countries to pay you. They said in East Africa that once you see a house that has burglar proof, they know it's a Nigerian that built it. No, I'm serious. People have told me. They go to a place like Kenya. And you're just passing and you see a house, fine house with fence and razor wire, everything. You know it's a Nigerian that lives there. He keeps that you don't have to think about it. Now them they think everybody's chasing them. You know what the American man doesn't bother with all of that? If you break into the house, police will be there in 3 minutes. He's sure. Now get my point, he's not praying about it. He's absolutely certain that my neighbor, not me, my neighbor that heard the noise has called the police. And for information, in France, it's a criminal offense if you don't call the police. It's very funny. If I see somebody beating you, and I don't either physically assist you or call the police, when they catch that man, they catch me and send me to jail also. The crime is called not assisting someone in distress. Now, you're getting on the spirit. Listen to me. Let me tell you this. The spirit with which to do it is present inside somebody. And I have been sent as a messenger of God to awaken that spirit and let us arise and build a great nation. Nigeria is a great country. You know how I know? Like Miles Monroe said, you see all these people sitting down here? There's nobody here sitting down listening to me that doesn't have the ability to build a nation greater than Nigeria is today. Are you getting my point? So if each one of them will arise and just build a local government, they just build a judicial system. They just build the police force. They just build one ministry of education. They just build a university system. They just build a housing system. We'll talk about it again. Please don't forget, ministry is not only in church. Pastor Banky is a preacher, does not mean you are supposed to be a preacher. Building a school can be ministry for you. I like the way Pat Robertson's wife said it. Their 50th anniversary, I think, of their marriage. What is it that you have done in life that you will say you have contributed? The woman thought for a while. She said, raising my 4 children. You know Pat Robertson? His wife. He said, what have you done? He said, I have raised 4 children. Somebody referred to Laura Bush. Is it Laura Bush? No. Barbara Bush. He says, one woman who married one president and raised another one. You know, that's a degree. That's a national honor. That is, I meet 2 presidents. If you can do it, let me see. I made 2 presidents. One, my husband. The other, my son. Believe me, I'm telling you, as a messenger of God, she indeed made 2 presidents. If you like, don't like the current George Bush, your personal problem. That woman made 2 presidents. And forever, that satisfaction. Anyway, she goes, who are you? My name is Barbara Bush. The wife of George Bush Sr., the mother of George Bush Jr. Try that one for size. No, I'm serious. There are things you do that just bring you honor. Just bring you honor. That's what we are saying. My nourishment, my honor is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, not to pursue what everybody else is pursuing. I'll continue this message next time.